Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked up Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Samach Hei. The Gemara opens up with a Dibur Maschil from the Mishnah on Samach Dalim Beis regarding items that a woman is allowed to walk out while wearing on Shabbos. The Gemara mentions Uva Moich Sheba Ozno. That was in the Mishnah. The Moich Sheba Ozno we saw in Rashi was to absorb different ear secretions, some material stuffed into one's ear to absorb these secretions. Toni Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Bar Yecheskel presents a Tanaic source that says, "V'hu shekoshur ba'ozna." The permission of going out with this moich, with this absorbent material, is provided that it is tied in place. It's tied to the ear. Uva moich shebe sandola. This was a soft material put in one's shoe to add comfort. Toni Romi Bar Yecheskel, again, he shares a Tanaic source, Vusha Koshur Lo Besandola. It has to be tied to the sandal. Uvamoch Shehiskino Lo Lenidasa. We have a numbering system here. 1 and 2 you see on the next line. There are two stages in understanding this particular example. First of all, we're talking about something like a tampon, a material that a woman inserts to absorb the blood flow of the monthly cycle. Sovar Rami Bar Chamo Lemeimar Vahu Shekshura Lo Bein Yirei Chosel. Rami thought to say that the permission of the woman walking out with this absorbent material is provided that it is tied into place. Omar Rava. Rava says, Afa Pi She'eno Koshur Lo. Even if it's not tied into place, kivan demoyis, since it is repulsive, lo asyo lesuye, she's not going to come to a situation where she's going to take it out and end up carrying it. Bo minei Rabbi Yirmiya me Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yirmiya asks regarding this topic of a tampon, also lo base yad mahu. What would the din be if she is wearing this absorbent material, but it has a handle attached to it? Would you say that under those circumstances, it's not repulsive upon its removal? In other words, she is holding on the handle, whatever this protrusion, and not handling the absorbed material itself. So maybe under such circumstances, it's not disgusting, and it would be also for her to wear a tampon with a handle on it out into the Rishus HaRabim. Amalei, so Rabbi Abba answers, Muter, that it is allowed, that even with the handle on it, it still is repulsive. So there's no fear of her taking it out and carrying it. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Oshaya, it was said thusly, likewise by Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yochanan, also Beis Yad Mutar, even if a handle was attached to this moch, to this absorbent woman material, it is allowed. It's allowed to be worn out on Shabbos by this woman. Rabbi Yochanan, Nofak Behu Lebei Midrasha, we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan himself had this absorbent ear material, it's moch sheba ozno. He went to the base medrash with it, v'chalukin olav chaverov, and his colleagues were at odds or in disagreement with him because he walked out without it having been tied into place, and he went into the Rishus HaRabim in that fashion. Rabbi Yanai nofik b'hu l'karmelis. Rabbi Yanai went out with a moich in his ear to a karmelis, which is a a non-enclosed area. He went from a private domain to the Carmelis, which is a rabbinic transition, if you will. In other words, if someone was carrying something, he would be in violation of a rabbinic prohibition. That's what the nature of a Carmelis is. But anyway, Rav Yanai went with his ear moch to a Carmelis, the Chalukin Olav Kol Doiro, and his entire generation was in disagreement. The Gemara asks, well, how could they do that? How can they go out with the untied moch? The Hotoni Romi Bar Yecheskel did he not teach in a source? Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara so that you can see where this, if you align this arrow with the one above, you can see where this was quoted earlier. And his source says that the heter of the Mishnah of going out with the moich sheba ozna is only if it is tied. Lo kasha, there is no disagreement or no contradiction. Ha de mahadik, ha de lo mahadik. Mahadik means it's fastened in place, so that if it's fastened in place, it doesn't need to be tied in. And if it's loose fitting, then it would need to be tied, as the Romi Bar Yecheskel source suggested. Bepilpel ubegalgal melach, or there's another gear, so we saw in the Mishnah, begarger melach. Pilpel, the pilpel that one keeps in his mouth is lereach hapeh, it's for prevention of bad breath. And galgal melach, or garger melach, the clump of salt, is ledur shini. This is what's referred to as a choli shinayim, some type of tooth ailment. So it's there to heal, or we'll say prevent that, or ameliorate it. V'chol dovor she'noisenes l'soich piha, what is included in that? Zangvila inami dartsuna. These are different types of spices that one might keep in their mouths. The Mishnah had mentioned regarding these things that a person could go out with these things in their mouth, provided they put it there on Friday. We continue in the Gemara. Shein Toteves, Shein Shelzov, Rebbe Matir V'Chachomim Osrin. Omar Rabbi Zera, Lo Shonu Elo Shelzov. The controversy regarding the tooth is if it's a gold tooth. Regarding that, the Chachomim said one cannot go out with that on Shabbos, and we already explained there's a fear that because it's strange, someone might take it out and carry it so as to prevent the laughter of people. Avol, Bishel Kesef, Divrei HaKol Mutter. If it's silver, that looks like, has a similar color to one's other teeth, natural teeth, that would be okay. Tanya, Nami Hochi, Bishel Kesef, Divrei HaKol Mutter. A false tooth made of silver, everyone would agree, is allowed. Shel Zohov, Rebbe, Matir, V'Chachomim, Osrin. If it's of gold, then you encounter this controversy that we saw in the Mishnah, Rebbe allowing and the Chachomim prohibiting. Omar Abaye. Actually, before we continue in the Gemara, we'll just glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading. The nosei is the topic heading for this section. Kol midi de meganya bay lo osi lachvuye. Any item that its removal will cause someone to become, let's say, meganya is repulsive or disgusting or belittling, so a person won't remove it in order to show others. So there's, regarding things like this, we already saw that a person won't will be allowed to wear these out on Shabbos. Omar Abaye, in the Gemara, we continue on the third wide line. Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. These three Tanoim, Kuhu Sviraluhu, they are all of the opinion. The Cholmidi de Meganya Bey, anything that will cause a person to be repulsive, Lo Asya Leachvuye. He won't come to showing it. That means removing it in order to show his friends. Rebbe, Hodamon Rebbe, we already said that was with regard to the tooth. A person won't remove his gold tooth to show others. Rebbe Eliezer Desanya, Rebbe Lezer's source says, Rebbe Lezer, Poter b'koyveles u'betzluchis shel plaiton. Rabbi Lezer, and we explained the word poter, which usually means exempt, it really means exempt and is allowed. One is allowed to go out, according to Rabbi Eliezer, with a koiveles and a tzuchus shel plaiton. The tzuchus shel plaiton is something that's worn, it's a fragrance, and it's worn by a person that has a bad odor. So they won't remove it because it will, obviously, by removing it, their bad odor will be perceived. So there's no problem, according to Rabbi Lezer, of their wearing it out. Reb Shimon ben Elozer Desanya, he, you will see in this source, it says, T'klal omer Reb Shimon ben Elozer, kol shu lamato min ha-svocha, any head covering that's under the svocha, which is a we'll call it an outer type of head covering, yoitza bo, the woman can wear it out. She can wear it outside, because in order to, if she were to take it off, so she would be revealing her hair. Lamala min ha-svocha eino yoitza bo. However, things that are above the svocha, that she could remove without actually exposing her hair, so she's not allowed to wear that type of thing to the Rishus HaRavim. Before we continue into the Mishnah, just we mentioned the source three lines up, Rabbi Lezer, Poter beKoveles uBetzluchus Shelplaiton. Both of these elements, the Koveles and Tzluchus Shelplaiton, as we said regarding the Tzluchus Shelplaiton, it's a fragrance for a person that otherwise has produces a bad odor. The Mishnah, Yoitza Besela She'al Hatzinis. A person can go out with a coin. A sela is a coin. A coin, as everyone understands, is it's hard, it's metallic, and it has a it's minted. In other words, it has an imprimatur on it. The Shal Hatzinis, the Gemara will ask, what is Tzinis? And we'll find out it's a type of injury or a bruise that's under one's foot. The Mishnah continues, Habonos Ktanos Yoitzis Bechutin Vafilu Bekismin She Beoznehem. The Mishnah is describing young girls who had their ears pierced, and they don't get earrings until they get older. However, apparently the ear piercing takes place when they're young. So in order to make sure the hole doesn't close, so chutin, strings, or little twigs, kesamin would be something, some type of toothpick type thing, is put into the hole to keep it from sealing up. So they can go out with a person then who's had his ears pierced, can go out with these to keep the hole open. Aravios. Aravios are Jewish women that come from the Arabian Peninsula. So, and their custom was to have their heads totally covered with only their eyes exposed. So that's what is meant here when the Mishnah says Aravios Yoitzis Re'ulos. Re'ulos is that phenomenon of having of one being cloaked, including one's head, leaving only the eyes exposed. Madayos. Madayos is our women, Jewish women from Modai, another region. So they can go out prufos. V'chol Adam. The Mishnah, though it mentioned Arovios and Modayos, the heter of going out in this fashion applies to all people. Ela shedibru chachomim behoveh. The Mishnah simply uses the common example. In other words, in Arabia or in Modai, it's common for women to go out in Arabia, Ru'ulos, and in Modai, Prufos. Now, Prufos, Rashi explains, she me'atfois betalis, they are cloaked in a type of cape, if you will, and keneged savora. So you have to imagine a cape with around the neck area. So at one edge of the at one corner, we'll say, of the cape, there is a strap that extends, or a string or a strap that extends. Ubisfosa hashenis, and on the opposite edge, a corner, there is a koreches even o egos. She wraps the edge of the cloak around a stone or a nut, creating something that's protruding around which she will tie the strap from the other side. The kosheres horatzua bekerach. She'll tie the strap around this stone that's wrapped in the cloth. V'ein hatalis nofel me'ala. That keeps the cloak from falling off. So what we described, the Mishnah mentions in one word, is prufos. The Mishnah continues, porefes al ho'even v'al ho'egois v'al ha'matbea u'bavad shelo tifrof l'chatchilo b'shabbos. So we already explained what porefes is. It's setting up this bulge or protrusion around which the tie or the strap will be fastened. So the Mishnah says what it says. It's a little bit difficult to understand the Mishnah, and the Gemara will deal with the problem, because the Mishnah says on the one hand porefes, that she can go ahead and do it, and it sounds very much like she's going to prepare this on Shabbos. She's going to take the stone or the nut and wrap the material around it. And then it goes on in the Mishnah to say, but she shouldn't prepare it on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll have to deal with that later. My tzinis, at the beginning of the Mishnah, we mentioned that a person can go out with a coin that's attached to the tzinis. So the Gemara answers, tzinis is bas ara. And we explained when we were learning the Mishnah, this is a type of sore underneath one's foot. Umay shno sela, why is a coin of particular benefit for this particular sore? You'll see in the Gemara a double underlining that we used, and under our mivneheding on the side, we've indicated these are shlavim, these are stages, the birur in clarifying my shno sela mishar dvorim, what's unique about the coin over other things, shehu mo'il letzinis, that makes it beneficial for the tzinis. The Gemara. So, relating to the question of what is unique about the coin, ilema, if it's because kol midi da'akusha ma'ali lo, that's something that's hard. In other words, something that's hard, that's pressed against the sore, is beneficial. Well, then levid lo chaspa. Why not just make the make it out of a piece of shard instead of a coin? Elo mishum shuchasa. Maybe it's because the coin and its metallic content produces a type of, we'll call it a secretion or a dampness, and the dampness that is produced by the coin is that which is beneficial. Well, if that's the case, then levid lo tasa. Why not just take a silver plate instead of a silver coin, like a silver disc, and put it under the sore? Elo mishum tsurta. Maybe it's because of the imprimatur that's on the coin that is what is beneficial. Well, if that's the case, levit lo pulsa. Why not then take a wooden disc and carve out a figure, and that will offer the remedy? Omar Abaye, Shma Mino. Abaye says we can conclude from this the fact that the Mishnah chose a coin is kuhu ma'alin law, that all of these factors are that which offers the remedy, and all of them are present in a coin. It is hard, it is metallic, and it has an imprimatur. Habonus yoitzis bechutin. Before we go on in the Gemara, we want to just glance at the side under our nosei, our topic heading. Shalosh hanhogos shel Shmuel bekeshel levnoisav. The Gemara will feature three practices of Shmuel with regard to his daughters. The daughters of Shmuel, just parenthetically, appear in other Gemaras throughout the Shas, so it's noteworthy from time to time to see how he treats or deals with them. And here we have three practices. So Avud Shmuel, actually just for the sake of accuracy, here we're talking about the father of Shmuel. I made reference to Shmuel's daughters. So in effect, we're really talking here about Shmuel's sisters. So Avud Shmuel, Lo Shavik Luhu Lubinsei, Denafki Bechutin. The father of Shmuel did not allow his daughters to go out with the chutin, and in the Mishnah we saw that one is allowed. So the Gemara will deal with that. Velo shovik luhu genion gabi hadodi. He didn't allow his daughters to sleep together in the same bed. And Rashi says lishon ze etzel ze zu ba'oidon besulos, when they were still virgins, he wouldn't allow them to sleep together in the same bed. And number three, v'ovid luhu mikvois b'yoyminisin u'mafsi b'yoymetishrei. This will be explained at greater length in the Gemara on Omid Beis, but for translation's sake, he prepared for them mikvos, which are, of course, a mikveh, which is essentially it's a pool in which rain water is gathered for tahara purposes, for ritual immersion. So he prepared for them mikvois. In Yom Nisan is the beginning of the spring season. It follows the end of the winter rainy season. We might as well point out that mikvos as a means of ritual immersion is a source of tahara, in addition to another source of tahara, and that would be a spring, a live spring of running underground water, water that emerges from under the ground, which we would call a live spring, is another source. But here, Avod Shmuel specifically made mikvois for them in the spring season, and umasi are mats. B'yomi Tishrei, at the end of the summer season, and these mats would be placed in a river's bed, and they would immerse in the river as opposed to a mikveh at the end of the summer season, and they would step on the mats so as to prevent mud from sticking to their feet before they're completely immersed. So they would step onto the mats, keeping the mud and other silt away from them. We'll go over this point, Mirtz Hashem, when we get to Aramid Beis. The Gemara now goes over each one of these. Number one. The numbering here corresponds to the numbers that we had encircled, so, and we also underline the heading so as to make it clearer what we're dealing with. Lo shavik lu yoitzis b'chutin. The father of Shmuel did not allow his daughters to go out on Shabbos with the chutin. And we saw in the Mishnah the chutin were placed in the girl's pierced ears to keep the hole from sealing up. The Gemara asks, why was he so restrictive? Did the Mishnah teach that girls are allowed to go out with these little threads in their ears? Answer, the threads that the daughters of Avod Shmuel wore were colorful, and they were special in that sense, and those a person might slip out of their ears to show others. So that's why he didn't let them go out into the Rishos HaRabim for fear of them slipping them out of the holes and showing their friends and end up walking with it for Amos and Rishos HaRabim. Number two, Lo Shavik Luhu Ginion Gabi Hadodi. He didn't allow his daughters to sleep together in the same bed. So now one must be wondering, why not? Lema Misael Le Ravuna. Should we say that Avud Shmuel serves as a support to Ravuna's teaching? The Om Ravuna, Noshim Ha Misoilolois Zu Bazu Psulos. We continue at the top of Omid Beis Likahuna. maybe just by way of introduction, a Kohen Gadol has a fairly restrictive choice of women whom he can marry. In other words, he cannot marry, in addition to what a Kohen Hedyot, a common Kohen, is not allowed to marry, for example, a woman who is a grusha or a chalutza. He is not, that means a divorced woman or a woman who participated in the chalitza ceremony of the Yibum. A Kohen Gadol, in addition, cannot marry a woman who is a non-virgin. She has to be a besula. Now, Rav Huna says that Noshim HaMesoilulo Zubazu. Rashi at the bottom says HaMesoilus Mishakichos Mishum Tavis Tashmish. Some type of what's called a rubbing action that one woman would do with another because of the female desire for intimacy. So that's Noshim HaMesoilulo Zubazu. Rav Huna says those women are Psulos Lukuhuna, means they cannot, they'll become unfit to marry a Kohen Gadol. Rashi points out that even though in the time of Avuah d'Shmuel there was no longer a Beis HaMikdash, there was no longer a Kohen Gadol, nevertheless, since she would be unfit to a Kohen Gadol, it indicates to us that it's a type of immoral behavior and it's not proper, and therefore maybe that's what motivated Rav Avuah d'Shmuel to keep his daughters from sleeping together in the same bed. The Gemara says, lo. That's not what was on his mind. Rather, Sovar, Avuah d'Shmuel, their father, I mean, Avuah d'Shmuel's consideration was, Kiyechidil alufin gufo duchra. They shouldn't get used to the feeling of another human body. Rashi says, "The lalufen gufa nuchra v'isavu lishkav im ish." If they are sleeping together in the same bed and they experience the contact with another body, that may arouse in them the desire to sleep together with a man, and that's what was bothering Avuah d'Shmuel, or that's what motivated him to exercise this restraint, and not that we can say that Avuah d'Shmuel will serve as a support for what Rav Huna said. Continuing in the Gemara, the Ovid Lahu Mikveh B'Yoyme Nisan. Before we continue in the Gemara, we cited as a topic heading for this Gemara under our Nosei heading, Avuah d'Shmuel Heichin Mikvos Levnoisov B'Yoyme Nisan. We have to mention a word or two by way of introduction to this topic, and that is that rain water is capable of providing purification of Tara, provided it's not in a running, flowing fashion. It will be effective only if it's gathered in a pool. And when we say gathered in a pool, basically, to keep things simple, it would mean that the rain water accumulates in a pool. We mentioned that in contrast to someone who would draw rain water in pails and then pour that into a pool. So we're saying the rain water, for it to be effective, has to naturally accumulate in a pool. If the rain water is flowing, it won't be effective. How can you imagine a case of rain water flowing? So you can imagine that. Imagine there are certain places in the world that are rather arid, and they have valleys, so mountains and valleys and gullies and the like. And after a sudden, let's say, rainfall in such an area, these streams, if you will, these dry bed rivers, become filled with rain water. And that becomes a situation of flowing rainwater. And if someone were to attempt to immerse themselves in that, it would not provide purification. In contrast, there is underground or spring water. And at a certain point, the underground water surfaces, producing a spring, and that might develop into a stream. It's a stream of water, but the stream of water, it has nothing to do with the rain. It's what's called a ma'ayon, and that is metaher, even zochalim. Zochalim means while flowing. That is, let's say, basic introduction. In the course of this Gemara, the issue of where do rivers get their water from will figure as a prominent point. Are rivers fed by underground water, spring water, or are rivers fed by rain water? Of course, the season might be very important. In other words, at the very beginning of the spring season, the waters of the rivers may be swollen with rain water. If that be the case, so then you have a situation of flowing rain water, and that's not effective. So as a means of tara, so how will you gain tara in the spring season? So you'd better make sure that you have accumulated rainwater in a mikveh. After several summer months pass, and you're at the end of the summer, which the Gemara refers to as Yomei Tishrei, so whatever rain water that may have fallen into the rivers is no longer there. It's evaporated and gone wherever it's gone, and the water that's flowing in the rivers is from underground water sources, spring water. In such a case, the river will be a proper tahara, purification entity. Now we turn to the Gemara. Number 3, this is the second line from the top. The Ovid Lehu, that's the Avud Ishmael, made for his daughters mikveh b'yoymei Nisan. He made sure that they didn't go to the rivers for their tahara, but he, as a replacement for the river, he had prepared mikvois yomei Nisan as the very beginning of the spring season after the winter rainy season. Misayalei l'Rav, this practice of Avod Ishmael will support Rav, the Omar Rav. Rav says, Mitra b'marova sahado rabo pras. Starting backwards here, pras is a river, very likely the Euphrates River in Bovel. Babylonian Jewry would know that their brethren in the land of Israel experienced a significant rainfall, which will be to their liking, of course, by looking at their local Euphrates River, their Nahar Pras. What's the connection? So the source of water for the Euphrates, for the Pras River at least, is the rain that falls in Eretz Israel. In other words, the sources of this river are in the land of Israel. Don't try to question our explanation by looking at, an atlas or some related matter, because we don't want to commit ourselves to any translations and place associations. Suffice it to say that, as far as the Gemara and Rashi is concerned, the Pras River, whatever its English or common contemporary name is, the Pras River is fed by the rain that falls in Eretz Israel. So when the Babylonian Jewry saw their Pras River, Sado Rabba, by the way, at the beginning of the line, Sado is a witness, the great witness. In other words, he who bears witness to the rainfall in Ma'arov, which is Eretz Yisrael, Mitra's rain, like we say, the same Talu Motar, the rain of Eretz Yisrael, the knowledge thereof that there was rainfall in Eretz Yisrael is by the Pras, which bears witness to that. In what sense? In its having become full of increased water supply. In other words, the swelling of the Pras River shows that rain fell in Eretz Israel. What's the point? The point is that rivers get their get their water from the rain. And that's what we were saying, and that certainly is the case when you are at the beginning of the spring season, namely at the end of the rainy season. So, you might be asking, but didn't we say before that rivers also are nourished or fed by underground springs? So we continue in the Gemara, Sovar, and we're continuing reading with the Girsa of Rashi and Tosfos, Sovar Shema Yarbu Hanoitfim Al Hazoichalim. Notfim is an expression referring to Mei Gishomim, to rainwater. So Rav, or let's say Avu Dishmuel, was concerned that maybe the rain water was the majority over the Zochalim. Zochalim is the flowing spring water. And that would be the case at the end of the rainy season, when the majority of the water was from the rains and not from the underground spring supply. So far, we've explained the practice of Avu Dishmuel. And the more points out, interestingly, Upliga de Shmuel. This is at odds with his own son, Shmuel. Diomar Shmuel, Naro Mikife Mivrach. Shmuel says that rivers gain their water from Kife, from literally Kife is an Aramaic word regarding stones, but it means the underground water supply that ebbs upwards from between the stones that form the river's bed. Mivrich would mean its increase. The water of a river comes up from the ground and not from rainwater. The Gemara continues with something even more odd, and that is Upliga Didei Adidei. In looking at Shmuel, we find he is actually at odds with himself. The Omar Shmuel, there's another comment of Shmuel that says, Ein Hamayim Mitarin Bezochalin Ela Pras Biyomi Tishrei Bilvad. Before we go over this, just remind ourselves on the comment just before, where we have a little bays over Shmuel's name. Shmuel says that rivers get their water supply from underground springs, period. Now we see Shmuel saying that rivers are not effective. That's Ein Hamayim Mitarin Bezochalin. Flowing water will not be an effective means of Tara, except Ela Pras Biyomi Tishrei Bilvad, except for the Pras, which is a river, the Pras River, at the end of the summer season. Only then will I say that the majority of the water is from the underground spring. But prior to that, let's say in the early summer, or let's say in the spring season, and we have to be careful. Of course, we use the word spring; it could be confusing. But the season, the spring season, Shmuel says you can't go into the river. Why? Because we're afraid that the majority might be rainwater, and rainwater that Zochalin that's flowing is not effective. So it's interesting. We're not here to resolve any of this. We're just saying that Shmuel seems to be inherently is inconsistent, because under Shmuel, the Bay's comment of Shmuel, he said rivers are fed seemingly only by, or primarily majority-wise, by underground waters. And here in Gimel, Shmuel is saying, no, rivers, you can't rely on rivers except at the end of the summer season when rain hasn't fallen for a long time, because otherwise rivers are fed by the rain. We continue in the Gemara. Under our no say heading on the side of the Gemara, we've written Perefis al Egois Beha'aroma. Actually, let's hold off on this for a moment. Before we get to this topic heading, there's just a little piece of Gemara that asks another question. We raised this question when we were learning the Mishnah. So here the Gemara quotes, Porefes al ho'even v'chulei, and then it went on to say, U'bilvash shelo tifrov l'chatchilo b'shabbos. So the end of the Mishnah says that she shouldn't prepare this wrapping protrusion on her cloak on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Vamris Reisha Perefes, but right before that, it says that she can prepare this stone or nut wrapping on Shabbos. Omar Abaye. Abaye answers, Seifa Ason Le Matbea. In order to the matbea is a coin. In order to produce this little neck protrusion, or collar protrusion on the cape, something is inserted, and the material of the cape is, of the cloak, is wrapped around the item. We saw a stone, we saw a nut, and here we mention a coin. So, with regard to a coin, one isn't allowed to move it around on Shabbos. So that is what the Mishnah was referring to. If you're using the coin to create this little protrusion, this little, we'll call it this little knob in the corner of the garment, that you'll have to do from Erev Shabbos. You have to set it up Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to move around a coin. However, a nut or even a stone, if you designate the stone for this purpose, you are allowed to move it around on Shabbos. So that, in such a case, if you're using a stone or a nut, the egos, that you can make the little knob in the garment's corner by wrapping it around the stone or the nut, even on Shabbos. Now, the topic heading for this piece of Gemara is, we've indicated on the side, Porefes al Egos, that's the creation of this little knob around using a nut. However, the woman's intention here isn't really because she's so interested in wearing her cloak in a fastened form outdoors on Shabbos. What she wants to do is, she is kedei lehotzia livno katan. In other words, it's a trick. She creates the little knob with a nut, but that's only because she wants to get the nut outdoors, out into the street where her son is playing, so he can eat the nut. Obviously, on Shabbos, you can't just carry the nut from your house into the street. How about setting this up, this porefis arrangement, and wearing her cloak with the nut in it out into the street, and then when she gets to the street, she unravels the little knob with the nut in it and gives the nut to her son. Can that be done? This is a question, and we've indicated with a long question marking the shin, you can see that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and the descending vertical dashed line shows you the length of the question. And the question you'll see is broken down into a couple of parts, as we'll explain as we go on. But for better or for worse, the question is raised, but at the very end, you can even skip to the end, you see teku, it remains unresolved. Before we begin the Gemara, just by way of introduction, this concept of ha'aroma, of a trick, it is found, it's discussed, it's raised in other places. Our Gemara here will be making a reference specifically to a case where a fire breaks out and on Shabbos, and a person wants to save whatever he can save. Obviously, you can't carry things out from the burning edifice into a public domain. It's Shabbos, and with all the pain that's involved, Shabbos supersedes financial loss. That's as far as directly carrying things out. What about clothing? What about wearing clothing outside? Can you, let us say, cover yourself with several layers of winter coats and wear them out in that fashion to save them from the flames? That would be a ha'aroma, because that's not the way one ordinarily walks around with clothing. That's shelo kederech malbush. Okay, that having been said, we might as well also point out that what we just described regarding the place on fire and wearing many layers of clothing, that, in fact, is a machlokis tanoim. Rebbe Meir is lenient and says you can wear whatever you can wear. Just put it on and walk out wearing it. And Rabbi Yossi, though, is restrictive. He says that one can save clothing from the burning edifice by only wearing the normal number of clothing articles that one ordinarily wears. So now the Gemara. Boi Abaye. Abaye asks, Isha mahu shita'arim t'tifrof al ho'egois lahotzi livno koten b'shabas. Can a woman do a ha'arama, a subterfuge, a trick, and create the tifrof al ho'egois, is to create the little bulge or knob in the edge of one's cloak using a nut, with the intention of having the nut brought out this way to her child that's playing in the street on Shabbos, and he'll eat the nut. Well, that's the question, isn't it? However, the Gemara says, Tiboy lamando amar marimin bidaleko, Tiboy lamando amar ein marimin bidaleko. This question can be asked both according to Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi, whose opinions we cited in our introductory remarks. And the Gemara spells everything out. Tiboy lamando omar. You'll notice we have a little aleph here, and it's aleph. O Dilma is squiggle underlined a few lines later. Bays, two sides of the question. In Gemara markings, we like to employ the squiggle underline to denote the point of transition from going from one option or alternative to another. And that's what O Dilma accomplishes. So we point out here, Tiboy lemando marimin bedleiko. You can ask this very question even according to the opinion, and we said before it was Rebbe Meir, that says Marimin Bileko, that in a fire situation you can do the haroma, you can load onto your back numerous numbers of clothing, more. When we say load on your back, it means wearing many layers of clothing to save them from the inferno. Hosam who there, in the case of the conflagration, we say de lo shoris le, if we don't allow him to save the clothing, osi lichbuye, he'll come to a more serious offense. He'll come to extinguishing the flames. And kibui on Shabbat, extinguishing flames, is forbidden. Avol hocha, in the case of the mother with her kid, e lo shoris le, lo osi lafuke, if we tell the lady, you can't do this, well, she's not going to come to carrying it out. She'll just realize she can't get it out to her kid, and that's it. She'll have to just call her kid indoors to have the nut. So there's no, if we restrict her, no more serious problem is going to arise. So even Rebbe Meir might say that it's true in the case of the Deleika, we are lenient, because by being restrictive, a more serious problem will arise. But here, by being restrictive, no serious problem will arise, oy duma, or possibly afilu lemando ma'ein marim b'duleika. Even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says you can't practice haroma in the case of the fire, you're not entitled to clothe yourself in numerous layers of clothing. You're allowed only to carry, to wear out the normal number of articles of clothing. Hosam Derech Hoitzo Bekach. There, it's the Derech Hoitzo, it's the normal way of moving clothing. And Rashi cites people who are clothing salesmen. They'll wear several layers of clothing. And it being that that's Derech Hoitzo, that would constitute a Shabbos violation. That's the way you carry things out, by wearing, when it comes to clothing items, that is, by wearing them. And therefore, we can't allow you to put on extra layers of clothing, because that would be its hotza, that would be its, in effect, its carrying out. Aval hocha, in the case of the nut, ain't derech hotza b'kach, that's not the way you carry nuts out. The ordinary way of carrying a nut out is you hold the nut in your hand and you carry it outside. But wrapping it into the corner of a garment as a little knob, that's odd. So maybe Amos Shapir Domi. Maybe Rebbe Yossi would allow that because of the fact that it's done b'shinui. It's done in an unusual fashion. Teku, so it remains unresolved. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.